This is Local Innovator, the podcast for local leaders, episode number one. Welcome to Local Innovator. This is the podcast designed to highlight innovative ideas and forward-thinking solutions for local leaders. My name is Jess Fields, and I'm with the Center for Local Governance. My goal is to excite you about problem-solving, inform you about thoughtful policy ideas, and help you make a difference in your community. My goal is to help you be an innovator. In this episode, I want to challenge you to consider your purpose as someone engaged in local policy. So let's start with a very basic question. Why are you involved in your community? Is it to impress your friends? To enrich yourself? To gain some title? The answer is almost certainly none of the above, and the real answer is probably that you care about your community. You want to be of service to your fellow citizens. That's probably why you're involved, because above all else, you want to make things better. And that might sound far too simplistic, but it's the truth. If you're involved in local government in some way, or if you're active in trying to change local policy, or even if you just show up every now and then to a city council meeting, or a commissioner's court meeting, or a school district meeting to watch the proceedings, it's quite probable that one of your goals, at least one of your goals, is being involved is to make things better. So to really make a difference, you've got to be willing to ask the hard questions and find out the details. And you probably recognize this. You probably have tried to figure out what's going on or tried to figure out what's behind certain policies. But, you know, you really have to be willing to do this, even if others aren't always willing to, and sometimes they're not. You've got to be the one who steps up and represents the very change that you advocate for. Probably the greatest problem that faces local government policy today is the vast information deficit. And so what do I mean by that? Well, the rise of a professional class of staff members who largely run the day-to-day operations of most local governments means that these professionals have a vast array of training and knowledge about the intricate details of local policy and the day-to-day of what happens in their government, in their city, in their county, in their school district. These staff members tend to have more knowledge in their subject area than the elected officials. And if you think about it, really, that's kind of their job. They're supposed to be the experts. And having good staff members to handle the details of governance, like managing who's late on paying their water bill, well, that's important for any local government's function, but it's insufficient just for elected officials to set for this knowledge and ideas that are presented them by staff members. The information deficit between the professional staff and the volunteer elected officials, though, when you consider it, is still pretty small when you compare it to the information deficit that exists between those staffers and then the public at large. The gap between professional government knowledge and public knowledge of the same policies is often huge. So as a result, many local government policies are passed without a full understanding of their effects or their details, and particularly by the public. Therefore, it's incumbent upon both elected officials and interested members of the community to ask questions about the policies that come before them. In addition, staff members who are serious about good governance should be willing to ask tough questions too, not only about other people's proposals, but about their own, and allow their work to be scrutinized. Every policy and proposal deserves a serious discussion that fleshes out its details and ensures its effects will be what the governing body intends. So to that end, I've prepared for you some questions that you can ask of policy proposals, whether you're staff, elected official, or citizen. So let's get to it. All right, so here are the top 10 questions that you should be asking of policies, projects, and plans that are being considered, proposed, or deliberated upon in your local government. Question number one that you should ask of every policy that comes before your local government: how much does it cost? Now, this seems really, really simple, right? I mean, surely every policy has this question answered: how much does it cost? Seems like the basic question that you would ask of any policy or proposal or project. But unfortunately, it just isn't so. Many items get passed without any idea of what they'll cost, much less the question being asked. Or maybe you only have a vague idea of what something might cost. And plans are especially likely to fall into this trap, because plans often will define goals and projects without any exact idea about how to fund them. Even public projects, where the cost seems to be clearly stated, can actually be split into multiple component expenditures beyond whatever you're considering that obscure the real cost involved. So for example, let's say you're building a public building. Well, maybe you've got a design cost and a construction cost, or maybe there's multiple phases to the construction cost, or maybe the construction cost will then create, once you've built the building, you're going to have a long-term maintenance cost that's higher than usual. You don't always know exactly even what these kinds of things are going to cost. Or maybe there's a big infrastructural need, and you're considering the first part of fulfilling it, but without a clear idea of how much it's going to cost to follow through to fulfill the entire infrastructural need. So the first question that you have to ask of every policy is, how much does it cost? Question two, who's going to pay for it? Again, this seems like a really simple question, but it's not always so simple. How often do you really know where the money's going to come from? As with asking about how much something will cost, it's often the case that in plans, especially long-term plans, there is not a defined idea of where the money to pay for something is going to come from. This creates a situation where the governing body is more or less obliged to a particular project, but then it has no definite way to pay for that project. Now, just as in asking how much something will cost, there could be someone who defends a plan that includes project proposals by saying, well, plans can be changed and there's no guarantee that whatever it is will be built. But you know, if you put the expectation of a project out there by putting it in a plan, then your citizens have a reasonable expectation that you'll follow through. Let's say you pass a plan for a particular neighborhood that includes proposals to build a sidewalk on a particular street. Are you not, in some sense, promising the citizens on that street that the sidewalk's going to be built? They might be pretty disappointed if they wanted a project that was planned for and then it wasn't built. I say all this to make the point that if you put anything in a plan, whether you end up following through on it or not, you should understand beforehand the cost involved, because you are creating some kind of expectation with the public. So question two, ask who's going to pay for it. Question three, is it going to work? How successful will the policy be? Sometimes success is just assumed. But you know, just because your local government, which happens to be an important community institution, passes a policy, well, that doesn't mean the policy is necessarily going to work. Similarly, just because you have many strong proponents of a particular idea and they're all very adamant that something's going to work, well, that doesn't mean it's going to work either. The truth is, it's really easy to fall into thinking that everybody being on board with some policy idea means that it's going to work. It's got to work. Everybody's for it. But unfortunately, that's just not the case. Another way to say it is to reword the old cliche, just because you build it doesn't mean people will come. We've got to scrutinize proposals to ensure that they will actually accomplish what they set out to accomplish. So question three, is it going to work? Question four, are there any unintended consequences? Unfortunately, this question is asked far, far less than it should be, but it's one of the most important things you can find out about anything your local government is considering passing. That's because almost every government policy is going to have some kind of disconnect between what's intended and what it actually does. So the difference is between what a government policy intends to do and then what it actually does, that's the unintended consequences of the policy, or what the policy just does that it wasn't supposed to do. It's kind of like those advertisements for medication, you know, where they have somebody playing catch with a baseball against the sunset on a beach, and then they say such and such can help you overcome this illness or pain, but then the last half of the commercial is telling you that, by the way, this medicine also has all these different side effects. Well, when we pass a policy and we only consider the good intentions of the policy, what it's supposed to do, it's like we're just listening to the first part of the pharmaceutical commercial. We're only hearing what we want to hear the policy will accomplish, or what effects it will have. But just as a medication can have nasty side effects, so too can a policy. And in fact, most policies have unintended consequences. So we need to allow ourselves to figure out the side effects of whatever policy we're prescribing for our community. So here's a hypothetical example. Let's say that you pass a new regulation intended to improve the look of your community by requiring a certain amount of landscaping by retail businesses. One unintended consequence of this might be the high cost of complying with the ordinance by local small businesses, and thus making it more difficult for them to reinvest their profits in their business. And you get the idea. It's always a good idea to ask about unintended consequences. So question four, are there any unintended consequences? Question five, does it benefit a particular person, a particular company, or a particular group more than others? When you pass something, you hope that it has a community benefit, that it basically benefits everybody. Something might be a great idea, but if it doesn't really provide a benefit to everyone or fulfill a clear public purpose, then maybe it should be reevaluated or scrapped altogether. Maybe you've got a small group of citizens who are extremely interested in having a particular program publicly funded, but maybe they're the only ones. The question has to be asked that if they're the only ones who really want to have a certain program, and they're the only ones who will benefit from public funding of whatever program it is, should you actually fund it? It isn't hard to find examples of this kind of thing throughout Texas local governments, but it's definitely a question that needs to be asked. So question five, does it benefit a particular person, particular company, or particular group more than others? Question six, what's going to happen if the policy or project fails? Is there a plan B if this fails? So another way to think about it is this. If the policy, if the project fails, is it going to be catastrophic for our community? Is there a high likelihood of failure? Of course, just because the sky might fall tomorrow doesn't mean we give up everything and go bury our head in the sand, but we should be particularly cautious with public policy and projects that we have an out for whatever we're doing, that we have a plan B. And if that hasn't been thought through, it should be. And that's why this question is so important to ask. So question six, what's going to happen if this fails? Question seven, have any other communities done something similar? If so, what was their experience? It's worth looking at other communities to see what their experiences have been. And hey, has anyone else done what you want to do? Has it worked? You know, uncritically examine these cases. See what they tell you about your policy. Don't just find a couple of local governments who succeeded with whatever it is you're considering, but actively seek out cases where it didn't succeed and then see why it didn't work. Maybe you won't find any. Maybe everybody who's tried whatever your idea is have been completely successful, but I would guess that probably someone out there has failed with it, and it's worth learning from their example why they failed with your proposal. What did they do wrong? What can you learn from it? This kind of goes back to when we talked about unintended consequences. Don't just paint a rosy picture because you like the idea. If it's a good enough idea, it'll stand on its own merits. It'll stand the test of criticism and evaluation. So make a critical and an honest evaluation of the experience of other communities for your policies, for your projects. Question seven, have any other communities done something similar? Very important question to ask. Question eight, does this have the support of the community? It's easy to think that just because a bunch of people come to a meeting and pack the hall, they represent public opinion. You've probably seen or been part of a meeting where a group of citizens concerned about a particular issue filled the room to voice their concerns. Maybe they were even all on one side of the issue. Maybe they were united in their opposition of or support of whatever it was. But the harder question is whether or not these vocal few actually represent the entire community. I would encourage you to consider that the next time you see a room full of people at a public meeting, well, to consider if there might be folks on the other side of the people in that room who just aren't at the meeting. You know, sometimes we hear it said that if you don't vote, you can't complain, but I'm not sure I agree with that. Whether or not somebody votes or represents a vote, their rights too are to be protected and preserved by your local government. They have an equal stake whether they vote or not. So when we pass a policy or fund any project at the local level, we should ensure that we've actually considered how much support it really has from the community at large, and including those who are vocal and those who are not, those who vote and those who don't vote. It's a hard question to ask because, hey, the answer may not be what we want it to be, but if we're really doing our due diligence, we'll ask if the policy actually has the support of the community. So question eight, does this have the support of the community? Question nine, have we done our due diligence? Have you really asked all the questions that you should ask? Have you deliberated as much as you should deliberate? Have you allowed for public comment on whatever's going on? By the way, all of these questions that I'm suggesting to you in this episode, these questions certainly count as part of doing your due diligence. If you're asking some or all of these questions, you're certainly ahead of the game. But it's more than just asking a few particular questions. You got to make sure that the public's participated in some way, or at least knows what's going on. You got to make sure that you've all talked about the issue enough. And certainly, if you're an elected official, you want to make sure that you have enough time for everybody in your governing body to have a chance to express their opinion. Maybe you all feel the same way about it, but maybe you don't. Chances are there are some slight differences. So it's good to try and work those out and see kind of where everybody stands on an issue so that you can make the best possible decision and really make sure that you're representing the views of everybody in the community. Because if you're an elected official, everybody's views on the city council, school district, the commissioner's court, if they have different views, it's worth thinking about that they're representing the different views that are in the community. And so it's good to have that discussion on your governing body. But you really just need to make sure that you've discussed the issue, that you've asked the right questions, that you've, you know, looked into things. And the more important the issue, the more time you should take for due diligence. So question nine, Have we done our due diligence? Now, finally, we come to the last question in our list, question 10. And this is kind of the basic question. Question 10 is, will this actually benefit our community? This last and most essential question is really at the core of every issue that we deal with. And so asking all the other questions on this list, really, we're kind of trying to get at this truth. Does it really benefit the community? We want all of the policies that we pass to benefit the community. I mean, that's the point. And we want our local governments to be doing the right things. So at the end of the day, once you've even asked all these questions, it's worth just asking again, even if just asking yourself this, does this policy, does this project, does this idea, does it actually benefit the community? If you find yourself scratching your head or even a little doubtful about that, maybe it's time to reconsider your position or reconsider the policy or project or whatever it is. So question 10, will this actually benefit our community? So very quickly, let's review the top 10 questions that you should be asking of policies, projects, and proposals being considered by your local government. Question 1 was, how much does it cost? Question 2 is, who's going to pay for it? Question 3, is it going to work? Question 4, are there any unintended consequences? Question 5, does it benefit a particular person, a particular company, or a particular group more than others? Question 6, what's going to happen if it fails? Question 7, have any other communities done something similar? Question 8, does this have the support of the community? Question 9, have we done our due diligence? And question 10, will this actually benefit our community? I hope you've enjoyed this inaugural episode of Local Innovator. I'm Jess Fields, and this has been brought to you by the Center for Local Governance, part of the Texas Public Policy Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit, nonpartisan think tank in Austin, Texas. Find out more on the web at www.texaspublic.com.